forget things, important things. I just want to thank the church that you've been supporting me for many years. And we've got history with Westside Baptist Church. My wife was teaching at North Houston Baptist Church. And through even some of the Sunday school meetings, is one of the early times I met her at Sunday school meetings at Westside. And there, and then God has put our lives together. And then in the year of 1983 and 84, was teaching at North Houston Baptist School during those days, and some good days. And I'm excited about your school and what's going on here. And but the Lord, I took her away from that, and I gave her a homeschooling project. We've had four daughters, and the Lord has blessed, and she was able to help educate them, and they've done well and with college degrees and gone on well. So I thank you for praying. But pray for our family. The Bottom family, B-O-T-T-O-M, can't get any lower, but we are going up, and pray. And we're working with the down and outers and those that are come to the place of hopelessness and despair and realize when they hit bottom. I said, hallelujah, I'm here. You hit bottom, it's time to go up. And good to see Brother Bach. He's one of our missionaries with Tri-County Supports, and a good man. And he's in the process of doing some courting, and got lined up some a wedding coming up, I think, the first of the year. So praying for him. Very qualified man, a pilot, and serving the Lord. And I just say, sick him. When I say, I'm with you pastors, and that was mentioning a young man that's got himself prepared and did things right and now ready to go out. We just need a truckload of them going all around the world. So praise God. The Psalm 32 is where we're heading tonight. And I know it's not by might nor power, but by the Spirit. So it's definitely not by my preaching skills, but God can use you wherever you are. And so I went through some real discouraging times, and I just wanted to crawl in a hole and pull the hole in behind me. But God decided to say, he started showing me prisons and jails. And I was preparing a message. I was preaching in Waller County Jail. He just started showing me prison, as I was preparing that morning. And I said, Lord, I think you want me in prison. And the God began to direct us. And then he showed me he wanted me full-time. And I dedicated myself to full-time. And, you know, it seems like, how are you going to reach the world out of this one little thing? But we just got to be faithful. There's a lot of flash in a plan. You may say, I don't have any abilities. I got this, I got that. Don't sweat it. God's got a place for you. Hey, if you'll be faithful, if you're a usable tool, hey, God will use you in an unbelievable way. And he'll move heaven and earth, and he'll starve the angels to make a way. I want you to see, hey, my God shall supply all your needs. Don't let finances get you all worried about that. God owns the cattle on the thousand hills. He owns the coal under it and the oil, anything. If you need it, God can provide. He said, boy, you're sort of pie in the sky. Well, I've been there, done that, and God is able. How can you do it? How you can raise a family and provide, and they go through college, and it's all paid for, and everybody's still paying off these notes, but it's paid for. God's able. Are we rich? No, rich in faith. And so I'm just thank God for opportunity. I just challenge you, young people, where there's no vision, the people perishing, and they are perishing. Don't worry about, hey, Jesus is coming quick, and I feel like he's coming soon. You need to dedicate yourself, give what you have to Jesus, and he'll use that. They were singing a song. They that song a while ago, you got me stirred up. I heard that, and I've got a song on my heart. I'm going to sing that before I get going. I'm going to go in Psalm 32. I'll try to keep it short tonight. I know you got to go to work, but I was thinking of this song, that old camp meeting song, and she was playing it a while ago. I'll just sing it a cappella. That way, if I mess it up, I won't blame you on it. And it goes, amen. It goes, all ye sinners poor and weary, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 shops. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to fill your need of him. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Amen. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 32. You know, I love the Lord. Love, he's just so wonderful. Fall in love with Jesus. Oh, he's and his spirit is so sweet. He loves us and he loves people. Oh, we're in a hard world, but I'm glad we've got a loving God. I'm amazed, and we're going to Psalm 32. I'm amazed at God's compassion and love for lost souls. I deal with some of the worst and the worst of sinners. And I see how the Holy Spirit has compassion upon them. And they come, and he can save them from the uttermost, guttermost to the uttermost. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, can cleanse from all sin. Work with the railroad killer back in 2006, work with all kinds of sexual offenders and murders, but it's amazing, the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are carrying a heavy burden here in this church, maybe nobody knows, but God knows. Oh, there's a cleansing wave that can cleanse your soul. You can find healing. Don't be ashamed to share it with your parents. Don't be ashamed to share it with your teachers. Don't be ashamed to share it with your pastors and pastors' wives and ladies. Cast your care, but share it with Jesus. And when we have an invitation, I encourage you to come and cast it upon the Lord. And if we can help you in any way, everything will be confidential, but we need to cast it upon the Lord. And there, it needs to be a place of healing. So many inmates are afraid of churches because they're so critical, but they're broken. And what a better place. They need to come to the hospital. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, not the well, but those that are ill need a physician. Psalm 32, we're talking about an old sinner. Oh, David was a sinner, and it's one of his psalms, a penance where he come clean, a penitent psalm, Psalm 51, Psalm 32, a penitent psalm where he had committed adultery and murder. But he's speaking of the blessedness of forgiveness. Have you experienced it? Are you experiencing it? We'll read our text and we'll have prayer. Psalm chapter, get me a bookmark here. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand is heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, which means think about it. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as a horse, as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's go before the throne of grace. Father, we thank you for a time together. We thank you for Westside Baptist Church. We thank you for the pastoral staff and all the labors here, and the work is being done. We pray your blessing. And Father, we ask you to rebuke the enemy, the devourer from these people and the church, and that you would just open your blessing here and send revival. And Father, begin with us even tonight, and pray for each young person and even each person, that they might find your grace and healing, forgiveness, and experience the joy of the Lord that's contagious. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in Psalm 32 that David is expressing, and many of you know it, in 1 Samuel 11 and 12 about David's sin. We don't have to go into it. It's mostly of you, if you've got a good pastor, you've been taught the Bible, but he had this grievous sin. You know, and many people, can a murderer get saved? Can a wicked person, ungodly person get saved? Oh, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. David had experienced that. You know, the best testimony is someone has experienced God. It's not religion. It's a relationship. Have you experienced God? Young people, be careful. It's easy in a Christian school to backslide. And take it for granted, because this is what you do, church. But inside, you're standing up. You're not sitting down. You're not submitting. May not be submitting to Christ. You may actually have never come to a relationship with Christ. Examine yourself. You see, it's not... so many of my men in jail, they don't know what it's like. And they've been baptized, have done this or done that, and they really don't know what it's like. Young people, if I bring out here a big old bird, and you've never seen some of these in Papua New Guinea or different places may have different animals, things they've never seen. I bring out this bird, and I say, "Whoa, wow, look at this bird. This is a rooster." And he's got a big thing hanging down, and he's about this tall, and he says, "Gululul, gululul, gululul." And he said, "Wow." And they say, "Wow, that's a rooster? Oh, wow." You know, they've never seen the bird before. They don't know what the bird is. Well, we'll take it for granted. I guess that's a rooster. But then somebody actually brings them a rooster, and they say, and he's much smaller, and he's got that, and he's like, "Arr, arr," you know, and say, "What's that?" "That's a rooster." "Oh, I didn't know what kind of bird that was." Many people don't know what kind of bird that a Christian is. They've never experienced it, never been exposed to it, and they think they did what they thought they were supposed to do, but have never experienced God in true faith. David had to be broken down before he could be built up. But there's a change that results. You know, a changed life is so powerful. I wish I could take each of you, because of security clearances and all, it's difficult to get in jail unless you break the law. But then it's even harder to get out. But it's amazing to see the change that results in a life when they come into relationship with God. And David is expressing here, he said, "Oh, it's good. It's so good to be forgiven, to have our sins covered. Blessed, I'm so blessed that in whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guilt, there's no guile." It's good to be free. It's good to be free. When you see them bound down with sin and condemned and under the wrath of God, And suicidal. I have to deal with men quite often as suicidal. One this week, suicidal. I had a demonized man recommending me to help a suicidal man. You know, figure that. But God, they care about each other. They're trying to help each other. And as I dealt with them, and they came to freedom. And I said, "When you leave, don't let your head hit the ceiling on your way out." I mean, they're like, "Whoa!" It experiences a freedom that comes. David was under the condemnation, but there must come, number one, a conviction. The reason we're not having revival is because people need a Holy Ghost conviction of sin. We're having professions without possessions. Christ came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Truly coming to the thing of seeing their sin. And how does that happen? That's from the Word of God, convicting of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. That's why we preach the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God speaks, and that Holy Spirit working through the Word of God convicts of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. That's why I'm so happy that this church preaches the Word of God. Notice, he said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long." But you know the rest of the story. Nathan the prophet came, told him the little story. The man of God speaking the Word of God said, "Thou art the man, how using a parable there to bring conviction to his heart, to David. David came under heavy conviction. It says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Said, oh, aren't you afraid in that jail? Don't those people, they don't want to talk to you, do they? Oh, conviction. Sin is a heavy taskmaster. I said, cheer up. It can get a lot worse. I had one guy that was in double door lockdown, murder things, and a gang man. And I came along. I was preaching in there. And he said, no, I don't need that. I said, sir, this is the only hope you have. It's Jesus Christ is the only answer. And I said, cheer up. It's going to get worse. This is the only hope you have is Jesus Christ. And I left, and the next day I came back in. As soon as I hit that floor, the officer said, Chaplain, so-and-so was asking for you. And I went to his door. He said, Chaplain, you got to help me, because the voices in his head was just overwhelming him day and night. And it was just driving him insane. He had given himself over to the enemy, and now the enemy was just destroying him. And he said, they're telling me to kill an officer. You got to help me. I said, I'm sorry. I can't. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to deal with them throughout eternity. Except you repent. You've got to give it to Jesus. And he fell down there and said, oh God, have mercy on me and save me. And he got saved. He got some help. Cheer up. It can get worse. But David experienced that. He kept silence. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Young people, don't try to hide it. Don't be taking cookies out of the cookie jar. Don't be hiding anything. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. There must come a time of conviction. You can't just go be chewing bubble gum and just, I'm just going to go get saved. I'm going to get saved. Come on. You're not in conviction. You must see before a holy, righteous God. David, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Oh, that he was under conviction. Conviction of sin. Oh, as God begins it, it means, now for some of y'all, my girls, we had videos. And we had Tigger and Winnie the Pooh sometimes for them, for the little ones. And old Tigger, he can get in the most awful situation. Well, one time old Tigger, he got into it with a cloud. Ooh, you don't get into it with a cloud. And everywhere Tigger went, old Tigger, he's always a bouncy. And as he went, and this cloud followed him. And it was raining and thundering and hailstorms. And that's what David felt like. Have you ever felt like that? Everybody's being blessed. Everybody's graduating. Everybody's getting, but it's just raining on me. It's just everything's going bad. I take one step backwards, three steps back, forward, one forward and three back. What's going on? Maybe we're under the cloud of sin, the curse of sin. Cursed is he that keepeth not the whole law. Oh, David experienced that. You see, you cannot sin and win. Wealth gotten by vanity shall suddenly be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Gambling is not progressing the state of Texas, nor Louisiana or any place. We need to stand against sin. Sin is a reproach to any nation. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old. You've got to come to the place of conviction. Notice, it affects you physically. My bones wax old. It begins to take away your sleep. In your body, and then it's pulling the calcium from your bones, because now you're getting acidic in your body, and now you're not getting enough calcium, so it's pulling the calcium out of your bones. Now your back's hurting. You're getting osteoporosis. Now you got to go to the chiropractor, and your back is hurting and all this thing. The hand is heavy upon me, and now it's a seedbed for cancer. And cancer is widespread throughout the country, bringing sin. The wages of sin is death, the wages of sin. David has experienced it. Day and night, the hand is heavy upon me. Panic attacks, suicidal thoughts, cutting themselves, eating disorders. It's rampant. It's rampant in the churches. And we're putting our head in the sand and not realizing we need to deal with it. Oh, does God love? Can God help? Yes. But we must come clean. We must be honest. You cannot give ground to the enemy and he does not take it. The curse causes does not come. Where's it coming from? There is something there going on. We need the Holy Spirit will reveal it day and night. What did David do? How do you resolve the problem? I acknowledge my sin unto thee. You see, do not cover. Something may have happened. Somebody may have done something to you. Be honest. It's amazing. You think with big burly men, most of the big burly men have gone through abuses, many different types of abuses. And underneath is a little boy that's crying out, I will not be hurt again. But they're crying out for love. And waiting for somebody to unlock them. They're in a cage that's bigger than any prison will ever be. And it is so beautiful when Jesus Christ enters in. They acknowledge they must come clean. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Do you feel yourself in bondage? The Lord Jesus came to set the captive free. He can free you. You can be in your own prison, in your own home, in your own workplace. In your own schoolroom, Christ can set us free. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You see, there's where it comes. Submit to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify you. If we confess, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. See, although confession does not save you, there's many religions that has confessions. But David understood, if you understood the biblical, he was the head of Israel. He understood the blood sacrifice, Leviticus, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. They understood, looking to Messiah, the seed of the woman would bruise Satan's head. They look into Messiah, the blood of the sacrificed lamb of the eternal Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. He was looking to the Lord Jesus and confessing his sin, offering that sacrifice. There must be a payment. As you enter in by Jesus Christ, there's none other way among men whereby we must be saved. The blood, and it cleanses, it's powerful. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word will not pass away. There's cleansing power, can cleanse us from all sin. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Think about it. Wouldn't you like to be free? Maybe you've never received Christ. You can be free today. You can know, you can know, you can know. It's not hope so, maybe so. You can know. And then these things that's on your life, there is a solution. Jesus knows, He understands. God can set you free, but you must acknowledge, you must come clean, and the Spirit of God can lead you. As a result, David, now he come to a place of that conviction and confession. Oh, now, boy, now he's received. You're on the winning side. Comfort. Notice this. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the front of great waters they shall not come anigh unto him. Wow, now comfort. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will hear me. But now I get my prayers answered. Oh, it's amazing how when you begin to experience God in personal answer to prayer. I remember the first time that that point of surrender, I surrendered and I wanted to follow God, and they were having a Bible conference and in Nashville, Tennessee, and a group from our school was going, our community college was going, the Bible study, and I said, oh, I'd like to go, but boy, I got all these problems. I got to get my dad's permission. I don't have the money. I don't have transportation. How's it all going to work? And my prayer life before is, God is great. God is good. God, I thank thee for the food. Now I lay it down to sleep. You know, real advanced prayer. I didn't know. But as I begin to pray in a personal fashion, wow. I asked my dad. He said, sure, son. I said, what? There's a God in heaven. My father said, yes. Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing. Man. And then the phone rang, and it's a neighbor said, hey, I need somebody to help haul hay. There was the money. Going back to school, something. We got extra room in the car. Do you need... right? Whoa. It was a little, but it was big. I begin to pick up from the other side. You must see there's a living God that loves and wants to bless you. He wants to comfort your heart. You're not all alone. Not just thinking, well, I'm just going to this old Christian school and I'm being forced to do all this. Oh, yeah, you. There's a God in heaven that you can connect with, and he loves you, and he's going to write that. Then David experienced that, but he also experienced that protection. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And my inmates love that word, deliverance. They call that in jail ATW. That means all the way. And they say, ATW. They're out. And now I preach ATWH all the way to heaven. Amen. So, but we see, thou art my hiding place. You see, when we come to Christ, now we have that protection. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him. And here we have the protection of the Lord. I've been in many different situations where I've seen, well, this past week or week before last, and I brought a man in for counseling and prayer, and he was hurting. He was needing some help. I didn't know how much he had come out of New Orleans and stuff. I could tell he had a lot of things, burdens on him. And as I sat down and just had prayer, immediately he started manifesting. He started screaming at the loud as he could and foaming at the mouth. He flipped chairs, and I was the only one in the room. They could have had me killed and skinned out by the time any officer. They didn't even show up. But just the presence of the Lord, and God calmed him down, and we was able to work with him, and he cried out for Christ, for salvation. And he found peace. Oh, thou art my hiding place. I went into a prison once back early on when we got started in Navasota. And we pray for protection as we go in. And there's four of us. We went in, was preaching one night up in PAC unit, I believe. We went in, there's four of us. And God blessed and had a good service. We was coming out. We had badges. They give you, you give them your driver's license, then they give you a badge. And we came out, we gave the badge to the officer, a female officer that was very controlling and prideful. And so we gave her our badges, and they said, and she looked at us and in a very masculine fashion said, "Where's the other one?" And we said, "Well, there's four of us. There's four badges, and there's four of us." And she was definitely not a Christian in her attitude and actions there. Said, "There was four of us." She said, "I know. But where's the other one?" I said, "Woo," you know, like that. It's a little, come on. There's four, you know, four lives, four of them. "I know, but when you came through the door a while ago, there was five and one was in white. Where's the other one?" I said, "Whoa, glory to God." The angel of the Lord escorted us out. Man, who could tell? It's exciting. Thou art my hiding place. I was coming down the road in the East Ham, the worst of the worst, and working the cells. And I come to this one guy, and he said, "No, no." I said, and I show respect. If they don't want to, I'm not going to. They can throw stuff on you and not. I'm move on. I was right next door witnessing to the man next to him. And he said, "Hey, chaplain. And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What? How can I help you?" He said, "We saw you a while ago coming down the road. And there's only one man in the cell, but he was speaking in plural. We saw you come down the road. And we were afraid because there's a great light coming with you." I said, "Glory to God." I was sort of shy. I said, "Wow, a great light." It started about my feet and worked up. I said, "Glory to God." Little as much if God is in it. Greater is he's in you than he's in the world. Young people, you're not a victim. You're a victor. And you are a weapon. You're a tool against the powers of darkness. Don't underestimate who you are in Jesus Christ. And the Lord is camping up. Says, "Thou art my hiding place." The name of the Lord, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Young people, your protection is not a .357, 9mm, or 40 caliber. Your protection is the name of the Lord. What is out there is very vicious, it's very evil, and you don't want them fool with it. I worked with a railroad killer, and he killed 14 people and stuff, and all kinds of evils. And this society is full of it. Craziness. But you can tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be enemy hurt you. Cry out in the name of Jesus. As many missionaries in other parts of the world have testified, in great times of trials and persecutions, how they saw the soldiers around their huts and other things. Oh, God can pass you about. This is the blessing we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to join a gang in order to have protection. You can join God. It says, come out from among you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Almighty. Oh, it's powerful. And the word of God, the name of Jesus, it's powerful. I've worked with men and speaking that name, and I've had the things crying out from it. We hate that name. We hate that singing. Oh, we hate the Bible. These are voices crying out from the inmates. And I said, I'm going to sing it again. I'm going to read the Bible again. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Man, it suddenly becomes very urgent when you see the power in that name. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about. Hey, you don't have to have a nightlight. You have the light of Jesus in your heart. God has not given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I've wrestled with that thing all my life, fear. But I thank God it gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but how he gives us counsel. I got to get to this one, verse 8. Memorize verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee. God's going to tell you what he wants to do. You get counsel from the Lord. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do. That way thou shalt go. The way thou shalt go. Where do you go to school? My wife is a graduate of Bob Jones University. And as I toured the schools, God directed me to Tennessee Temple, but he brought us together. And we got married. Got the best of both worlds. Amen. And God is blessed. He will instruct thee. He will teach thee where he wants you to go. And he led me to Texas. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. He's going to teach us. He's going to tell us what to do. Then he's going to teach us how to do that, those things. He's going to put people in your life, instructors that will help. I had a slow one winter, and I needed more income, and I was working with a cabinet man. He said, put these cabinets together. That's what he wanted me to do. Then he taught me how to do it, how to pre-drill, and it was press wood and countersink and do all this. And then he taught me, and then he guided me as I did what he wanted me to do. And as I observed, he observed my work and directed me. You have a God in heaven that was going to instruct you. He's going to teach you. He's going to guide you. Who are you supposed to marry? What are you supposed to do? How are you going to make it in your as you get older financially? What are you supposed to do in all these things? He's going to guide you. This verse became very real to me. There I was had graduated from Bible school and was working at a steel door place, didn't have enough money to get out of Dodge. I was preaching up in the mountains, and I was praying and fasting for 3 days, asking God to show me. I was still working during those days, and I was reading the Bible, going to a Bible conference, asked God, what do you want me to do? He gave me this verse in my Bible reading. He said, I'll show you when the time comes. Just keep him first. And as I took that, God gave me a job. Somebody said, hey, I got a job on the railroad, and it was making twice as much money and a lot of overtime. It said, if you can work, and it was on section gang, swinging a hammer and pulling the bar. So 1980, I worked a year on section gang there in Chattanooga in the switch yards of Chattanooga. God provided, and I was preaching up in the mountains at the jails at that time. But God, He directed me, and then I heard about Pastor Schrader starting a work, and then God began to burden me. And at that time, I was preaching up there, and I needed to get on to the ministry. Keep moving. Don't get bogged down. If you have where there's no vision, people perish. You got to keep moving. I didn't want to just get down into making money. I wanted to be used of God and say, on the way down, God gave me this verse. This verse led me to Texas. This verse has begun. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit has directed me into the full-time ministry. This Word has given me my wife, because she was waiting here in Texas, and God put it together. I will instruct thee. Now, in relation to this guidance, the next verses, it indicate some things, cautions. Don't be as a horse or as a mule. Don't be impulsive as a horse. Don't be running off. I'm constantly cautioning the men getting out of jail. Oh, I'm getting out of jail. Where are you going? I'm going to move in with Sweet Susie. She's got an extra room. And I said, that's not going to work. Marriage is honorable, bed under fire. God's going to judge that. You can't do that. Don't just because there's glittering, it's not always gold. Wait on God. Don't be impulsive. I had a quarter horse mare and I rode her to the hay field to take my dad some water. And boy, I was heading back to the house. She decided to go to the barn. Oh, just determined. Yeah, whoa. And she got to the gate. I had to adjust her thinking. No, don't be such. You have to be chastised. Because you're not teachable, leadable, don't be impulsive. But also don't be stubborn as a mule. Come on, get up. And don't be, you have to be constantly. Hey, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Don't go to psychotherapists and the doctors all the time before you come to the church, before you come to prayer. Ask to be anointed with oil. Maybe there's some sin in your life that's causing these physical, psychological, different problems. Hey, there's counseling through the church. And once you get on some of these psych pills, you're going to have some more. I'm not saying don't use them, but hey, you can multiply the thing and it gets very cloudy. Start at the house of God. Start with the ladies and men of God. Don't be stubborn. Get on with what God you know to do, and God will bless you. Some ladies, maybe at home you're worrying. Well, why don't you? You've got to. Don't be stubborn. You need to do what you need to do. We need to put things first. Go ahead and take care of your family. Take care of your husband. Take care of your house. And as you get up and begin to do, God will help you. We cannot let the enemy just destroy it. He will instruct us. He will teach us. He will guide us with his eyes. Now, what the testimony, that's, he'll give us counsel. But, here we see consolation. We could have a testimony meeting, we'd all be crying. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. You cannot imagine the sorrows that I witness each day. And I'm glad God has put me where it don't register, so to speak, on me that it's just facts, it's the way it is. But how the sins pass on from one generation to the next generation, and because of all this evil, it gives ground, and it's just the horrible stories that go on. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. What your choice of choosing right will multiply more blessings, and your choice to make a wrong decision can multiply many, many sorrows to many generations. We must find that consolation. But he that trusteth in the Lord, what? Mercy. Hear that. That's the word again. Compasses him about. It cloaks us around. It covers. It's like Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Instead of old Tigger, you know, all that curse and all that evil coming upon it. Now you're just under the sunshine of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. Young people don't realize. You need to wake up to the reality. You're blessed to have parents that would send you to a Christian school. You're blessed to have a home that is, they're not beating you or abusing you and doing horrible things, and they're coming in drunk and you have to sleep under the bed and pray that somebody don't beat you before sunrise and with no sleep and all the confusion. Oh, thank God for the mercy. He's got mercy and it'll compass us about. And you may be in that situation, but if you know Christ, his mercy will follow you. I've seen people come through horrible situations, but they're like a rose among all the thorns. And you may be of a home like that, and you can rescue many that are suffering. As a result, we need to be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, satisfied customers is the best-selling piece that we can have. Satisfied customer. It's not all what you put on the billboards and what you put on the TV. And men and ladies, for Christ, it's satisfied customers. I'm amazed as I deal with hardened criminals as they come to true repentance and faith, just how God lights them up. I had some guys, and they come to Christ, and had one guy that was so messed up, and he come to freedom, and he went back to his cell, and this big old Muslim guy, he said, "I want to talk to you. What did you do to him? What changed him? I want to know." And it gave me an opportunity, and it took a good bit of time, because as I worked with him, boy, he got spooked real quick, but we kept working, and later he surrendered, and we dealt with him. Others, a man the other day that had one guy that was just so strung out, and he got victory, and the first thing he went back and got this other guy. And this guy was worshiping Santa Morte, mentioned that this morning, and had bitterness. His brother was murdered, and he'd been worshiping Santa Morte, but he saw what this other man had. You see, there's a world of hurting people out there, and they don't have the solutions. That's why young people, so many are killing themselves, and just in horrible things that are going on, drugs and alcohol. We're in a society that's going down so fast that we're in a post-Christian era. But where the lights are shining, and the eyes are bright, and there's no guilt or shame. Oh, how many men I see that's looking to the top of their eyes. They're just so filled up with the bondage of strongholds of sin. But when they come to Christ, their eyes open, and it's just the brightness of Christ's glory starts shining through. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. David said, "Oh, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, oh, and whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Oh, it's good to be saved. Are you saved? Have you received him? And if so, have you cast your care upon him? Have you found that conviction, cleansing that he has? How are you receiving his comfort? Are you getting his counsel and that consolation? Oh, he's not going to leave us. He's going to go with us. If we can help you, be sure, get with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you.